It's good to be with you good folks today. Dan Moore is my name. Most people call me Pastor Dan. I've been in the ministry for almost 50 years and just recently retired. And so we're glad to be with you folks today. I'm looking for my good wife. Where is she? She's supposed to be here somewhere. Oh, there she is, right there, good and not alive. It's my wife of 50 years, and we praise God for that. And I know we don't look that old. We got married when we were just kids, all right? But we praise the Lord for being able to serve the Lord. And I appreciate your good pastor inviting me to come and minister the word to you folks today. And we want to be a blessing to you. And it's always a blessing when we hear God's word. Amen? Our church we're working out of right now is Grace Baptist Church in Urbana, Ohio. We served 12 years as a pastor in Northern Ohio. How many of you know where Ashland, Ohio is? Raise your hand. All right, about 18 miles north of there is a little town called New London. Not London, but New London, Ohio. And we had the privilege of being the pastor there for 12 years and retired. Wonderful group of folks just like you folks this morning. And it's our privilege to be able to meet some of you as you came in the door. And we're trusting God will continue to bless you folks here in this wonderful location. There's people to be saved. Amen? There's people to be reached out here. And God wants us to do that. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to raise it up in the air if you would. Several years ago, God gave me something from my own personal life. And I want to share it with other people. And I want you to lift your Bible up. And I want you to say this with me. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I will seek to listen, obey, and apply it to my life for my good and for His glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, take your Bible this morning. Turn to the book of Psalm chapter 145. Psalm 145. I want to ask you a very important personal question this morning. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer out loud. But how do you view God in your life? How do you look at God? How do you respond to God in your life is all according to how you view God. Matter of fact, are you listening? Everything that you and I do in our life, every choice, every action, every direction that we go in our life, all depends on how you view God. If you view God as a God who doesn't care, you feel like you can do anything and get away with it. I want to tell you something, folks. God sees all. God knows all. That means amen. All right. But God wants us to understand that. If you view God as a flimsy God, you might not be the right type of father or mother. Because God is concerned about everything we do in our life, so we ought to be concerned about everything our kids do in their life. So that means we teach them the Word of God on how to live and obey and trust Him. God wants us to view Him in a proper way. Look there at Psalm 145. I want to read a few verses and I want to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 6 in just a minute. But turn there to Psalm 145 if you haven't already. And I want you to see something here, what the psalmist said about our God and how we should view Him. Look at verse 1 if you would. And I'm going to begin to read there and read down to several verses. I don't know if I'll read all 21 verses, but I may. Look at verse 1. I will extol thee, my God. You see, the psalmist had a right view of God, so he began to uplift God. I want to ask you a personal question. Do you extol God every day in your life? By the things that you think, the things that you do, the way you respond, the way you act towards other people? And I will bless thy name, how long? Read in the last three words. Ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. See, there's no end to how we should view God in a proper way. Then he says in verse 3, great is the Lord, read it with me, and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is what? Unsearchable. Now, I want you to think about that. Keep that in your mind this morning before the message. Look at verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. See, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't have that performance in your life if you don't view God in the proper way. But the psalmist did. He wanted people to know, hey, I got a right view of God. You see, we look at other people and we may view people, and sometimes if we're not careful, you're listening? If we're not careful, we pick up things from other people that may be wrong for our lives because of the way we view them. Listen, I want to tell you something. You're important to God. Can I hear an amen? You see, you're important to God. He made you individually with personality, qualities that nobody else has, because He wants to use you in a special way to touch other people's lives. And the psalmist knew that, and he wanted to be that type of person God wanted him to be. Look at the next verse. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. In other words, his mighty acts, the way he performs. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall bundle together the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Now look up here if you would, please. I need to insert something here. If you have a wrong view of God, when something comes into your life that's not exactly comfortable, we begin to blame God. Now think about it. Have you ever blamed God for something? Have you ever looked at God in the wrong direction, so to speak, because something came into your life that you doesn't feel very good? It can happen if we're not careful, because the devil is always trying to be in opposition against God in your life concerning how you view God. You see, God is a good and great God, and He wants us to understand that. Look there at verse number 8 again. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of everything, living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He fulfilleth the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Read verse 20 and 21 out loud with me, would you please? The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Would you bow your head with me in prayer? Before I have a word of prayer here with you, would you ask God to speak to your heart this morning? Would you ask God to help you to have the proper view of Him the way you should? Would you do that right now? Dear God, I pray you would take this time to put within our hearts that which is needed from the Scripture that you've given to us. Let us not be hesitant to let you have your perfect will in your way. Now, I don't know the folks in this congregation here. I don't know those who have personally put their faith and trust in you because they view you in the right way. But I pray if there is someone here this morning, like I was many years ago, sitting there in the pew, and Lord, I need to know you, and I didn't have the right view of you because I didn't understand what it was that you did for me through your Son, Jesus Christ, and dying upon the cross. But I pray for someone here this morning that might not be saved, that they will be spoken to by your Holy Spirit. Their heart will be open and receptive, that they would come to know you as a personal Savior today. Then every Christian, whatever their need might be today, I pray they'll be touched by the Holy Spirit and they will respond and they may get that proper view in their life towards you. It may be that they need to rededicate their life. Maybe that they need to give themselves to serve you in a great and mighty way. But whatever the case, I pray you accomplish your divine will here today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Turn over to the book of Isaiah, if you would, please. I want you to see something here about what the psalmist was saying. when he was talking about God and having a proper view. God wanted us to have the proper view of him. And Isaiah had a view of God. How did he view God? Well, look at Isaiah chapter 6, if you would please. I'm not going to stand out here all morning like this. I'm going to get back behind the pulpit in a few seconds. But I wanted you to understand, I got something God has laid upon my heart today that I want to bless your heart with as the Holy Spirit uses it. I want you to be able to go out here today with your pockets full. I want you to go out here with your heart filled with joy and be excited about what God has done for our lives. Can I hear an amen about that? God wants us to do that. He wants us, when we come to God's house, to get something for our life. That when we walk out the door, it will make a difference how we respond to other people, because we get a right view of God. But look here what Isaiah said about God. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You see, he saw God in the right position for his own life. He saw God high and lifted up. Listen, folks, our world today has a very low view of God. And that's why they'll let all kinds of words come out of the mouth. That's why they don't worship him. That's why they don't see their need to go to God's house or even think about him. They think about, number one, self rather than God. But that wasn't what Isaiah saw. Look at verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now look up here if you would. Folks, when you and I see the glory of God, it will make a difference whether we make a choice between right and wrong. That which is pure or that which is polluted through the visual of our eyes or in our thoughts. You see, we got to constantly battle. And you know this. From all the things around us, whether we're out working or whatever it is, things begin to enter into our ear that we really shouldn't be listening to. Things that we might be watching on the computer that we need to be aware of and watch out for. Even more so than ever. I mean, the pollution that's thrown at you and me day by day out in the community, wherever it might be. We may think that we're protected. We're not. It's out there. And we need to realize that we serve a holy God and we need to keep our lives. As a matter of fact, doesn't the Bible say this? Be ye what? Holy as what? As I am holy. God wants that. And Isaiah saw that. Look at verse 4. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke, showing about his power. But here's a problem, Isaiah said. And most of us don't see this in our lives, but that's the reason we need to come before him and claim 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But look at there at verse 5, what Isaiah said about his own problem. Then said I, read it with me, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. Isaiah had that kind of view of God. I was thinking of Peter. Boy, we like to pick on old Peter, don't we? Peter, though, said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. But he also said, I'm a forgiven man. Peter and the people of the Bible, Isaiah, they are just as human as you and I are. But that's the reason we need to keep a proper perspective as far as the view of God in our own lives on a daily basis. Listen, folks, until we get zipped out of these old bodies, we have the opportunity of committing any and every sin. That's the reason we need to stay in this book. That's the reason we need to let the Holy Spirit control us, because the Bible says, walk in the what? Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look back at Psalm 145, would you please? Let me share with you some things real quickly here. What time should I be finished? I forgot to look at that paper again. What time is your morning service over? What time should we, so we can go to Sunday school? What time is that? Okay. I want to make sure I don't go over. But turn back there to Psalm, if you would, please, and look at chapter 145. Let me share some very pertinent things for your life and my life that will help us to be the Christians we ought to be. A matter of fact, I was reading recently about how America, not that the whole world is not included in it, but America alone, how America views God. And the view of God is so low. And I read this article about it. And it affects everything that we do. I believe a lot of the things that are going on right now that we're facing is because people don't view God in the right way. God knows what we need in our lives. And, you know, I believe this. If I'm not mistaken what the Bible says, it says judgment must begin at the house of God. Can I hear an amen? You see, we've got to check up on our lives. We can't expect the world, those that don't know Christ, to view God in the right way or even do the right things or say the right things. But we need to set the example. Am I right about this, that the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works, and what's the end result? Glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So this morning, I want to ask you, what is your view of God? Maybe your view of God needs to be changed a little bit. Well, look back here at Psalm 145, and let's look at some things about this matter of God being viewed by you and me. By the way, there was a great preacher by the name of A.W. Tozer. And A.W. Tozer said this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The whole structure of our life is built around how we view God. Matter of fact, it will help you to do the right things when you don't feel like doing the right thing. And so the psalmist says, let me show you some things this morning. Look at Psalm 145. God says, look, we need to view Him, number one, that God is great. The greatness of God. Look at verse, if you would there, in verse number 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. I mean, God is so great. He is great to do everything in your life, my life. You see, the problem of it is, we really don't believe in our heart that nothing is impossible with God. We look back at the Old Testament. We look back at biblical days and we see the great things that God did for the people of Israel and the individuals back in those days. And we say, well, God just doesn't do that anymore. I beg your pardon. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can still do anything but fail. Huh? God can do anything. You say, why? Because we have a great God. And He can still do great and mighty things. You see, the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee, come on, great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God wants you to get that view of your life today. God, listen, I want to tell you something, folks. God can straighten this whole thing out that we're facing this pandemic, this COVID-19, just like that. God could clear it up. Sometimes God permits things to come into our lives to give us a little spanking. Huh? For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth every son whom He receiveth. It may be a real wake-up call for the Christians, because we're not being what God wants us to be. You see, I'm afraid that a lot of churches, and I'm in churches. And I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of churches are playing church. I'm not going to be the judge. I'll let God be the judge. But I can just observe it. And I mean, we go about our schedules, you know. Well, I better go to church today. You know, the preacher expects me to be there. No, God expects us to be there. Amen. Hebrews tells us that. 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves in the house of God, for as manner as such is, and even more so as you see the day approaching. Folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming again. Now, He may not come today, though I expect Him to come today, because we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. We believe He could come any time. But where to go about? Some folks, I write a daily what you call a little blog or something. I call it Insights for Encouragement. And I tell people all the time, I says, look, yes, I believe a lot of this could be a foreplay of the coming of Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to plan that. I'm going to plan every day serving Jesus and witnessing to people and trying to get them saved before it's eternally too late. Huh? Will it be passing out a tract or getting the opportunity personally to talk with them? That's been shut out a little bit in our lives because a lot of people don't want to talk. They want, you know, social distancing, and that's all right. But I'm simply saying this, folks. We have a great God, and if we view God as a great God, God wants to do great and mighty things in your life and my life. Folks, God says there's still people that need to be saved. You got loved ones. You got friends that need to be saved. And it's an urgency on our part to get out and tell them about Jesus. You say, I just have a difficult time. Wait a minute, you got a great God. God can enable, listen, you're looking at an introvert. You're looking at someone who went and hid under the bed when the company came. Huh? Now, that's the honest truth. If my mother was still living, she would tell you that. I mean, if company came, I ran and hid under the bed as a kid. I mean, when I preached my first message, it was only 5 minutes. You say, I wish that was true now, preacher. I'm saying God can take anybody and do anything in your life and my life that He wants to. I have friends that I went to, I'm a graduate of Tennessee Temple University in Chattanooga years ago. All right? I had fellows that couldn't even hardly speak the English language that God gave them the ability to learn a foreign language and go there and be an effective missionary for the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, God can do anything but fail. Why? Because we have a great God. We have a great God that wants to satisfy every need of our life. Look here. Look down, if you would, there in verse 18 and 19. Here are some great verses to show how great God is and what He wants to do for your life personally today. Here's the problem. If we will allow Him to do it, and God wants to do it, because we have a great God that wants to do great and mighty things for your life, my life. Look there, if you would, at verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth, He will, read the next part of the verse with me, fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. Now that word fear there means to give due respect or reverence to His name and His power and His character. God can do that for you and me. He wants to satisfy the longings of your heart. I love that so only song, that only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Huh? I want to tell you something, folks. You may have all the money in the world. You may have all the fancies and the goodies and the material things that you may have. I want to tell you something. They do not satisfy. I mean, you notice this? You buy a new car and you're riding down the road and you see a newer car and you say, boy, I like that car. What happened? We're not satisfied with that which we have. We buy a home and, we have it for maybe a couple years, and then we see somebody else's home. We say, boy, I sure like your home. I sure like that. Not that we're, you know, just giving a compliment, but down in our heart we say, boy, I'd like to have that. Why? Because things don't satisfy. Would you say that with me? Things don't satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy. Come on. Jesus can satisfy. And so when the psalmist says, we have a great God, he wants us to get that view. He doesn't want us to lose that view because he is great. He's mighty. But wait a minute. Look down at verse number 8. Secondly, God wants you to view his graciousness. Look at it. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. As a pastor, I did a great deal of counseling. And I had many people would come into my office just beat down, feeling discouraged, despondent, and like they weren't worth anything. I want to tell you something, folks. You are worth something because God didn't make any junk. God wants you to know that He is a gracious God. And He cares for you. If you were to read my blog this morning, Insights of Encouragement, I tried to get that across, that God cares every bit about you. I gave the story there of the disciples when they were on the on that ship on the Lake of Gennesaret or Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Chinnereth, whatever one, the four different, it's called four different names there, the body of water called the Sea of Galilee. And they were on there. I mean, they were in a turbulent situation, were they not? And I mean, their life, they said, "We'll be destroyed, Lord." As they came back there, and he's in the back of the ship, sleeping, but still knew everything that was going on. Huh? Because he's an all-knowing God. He knows everything from the end, from the beginning to the end. And they came to him and said, "Look, Lord, we're in trouble here." And the thing that I was trying to get across in that Insights of Encouragement, Jesus is in the midst. When Jesus is on board, man, there ain't no way you're going to drown. There ain't no way you're going to be destroyed. He's there. And I want to tell you something. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there is like none who's ever known. You know, Jesus is there with us. Why? Because he's a gracious God. He's there to help us when we go through our tough times. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We all go through tough times, huh? We all have our problems. We all have our grief. We all have our down times and our depressions and so forth and so on. Anybody says they don't, listen, I'm going to tell you, they're hiding it. They're not telling the truth. Everybody has those times. But I'm glad that Jesus is right there when he said in Hebrews 13:5, "I will what? Never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's right there with us. Why? Because he is a gracious God. He's there to minister to every need that you and I have in our life. If we'll look to him, we'll trust him. And the psalmist was trying to get across to you and me. Look, we have a gracious God. Look at the verse 8 again. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." You know what a compassion is all about? It's love in action. It's like a mother who takes that child who's fallen on the ground and scraped up its knee and takes it and deals with the problem. He's gracious. He's there to soothe us because he's an all-compassionate God. And by the way, his compassions, they fail not. They are renewed every morning. Aren't you glad every day you wake up? Boy, God has more compassion today for me. And God wants to do that. But you see, sometimes we don't view God that. A lot of times people view God with a big baseball bat in his hand, ready to knock him over on top of the head because they've done something wrong. Yes, we all fail. Yes, we all go astray. Yes, we all disappoint God. But I want to tell you something. There's no disappointments in Jesus. He's right there with compassion. His compassions fail not. And the psalmist wanted us to get a hold of that today. He is compassionate towards all of us. His mercy. His comforting. He is long-suffering. I love that verse. Nobody, you know, some people say, "Well, you know, Lord just doesn't care about me. I've done too much wrong. I've sinned. There's no way I can be saved." I'm going to tell you something. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all do what? Come to repentance." God wants every person to be saved. God so loved the world. Whosoever will may come. Why? Because he's not only a great God, he's a gracious God. And I'm glad about that this morning. He's a gracious, giving God to you and me. But that's not the end of the story. I mean, we can stop right there and we can shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." But would you look at verse 9 of Psalm 145? Verse 9 gives us something else, how we can view God. He's not only great, he's not only gracious, but look there in verse 9. "The Lord is good." Now, I know you've heard this before. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Because we have a God who never changes. He's good. He's kind. Matter of fact, He's good to the righteous and to the unrighteous. He lets the sun shine on us both. He gives us water. He gives us rain because of the goodness of God. Keep your place in Psalm 146 there if you would, and turn back to Psalm 86. And look down at verse number 5, would you please? Psalm 86 and verse number 5. I love this. I needed this back many years ago as a teenager when I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. Look at it there. Psalm 86 and verse 5. And I want you to read it out loud with me, folks. And I hope you'll take it to heart and view God in this context. Look at it there. Out loud, let's read together. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. You see that verse? That verse is power-packed for you and me. If you're here today and you need forgiveness, God says, here it is for the taking. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you from your sin. I'll cleanse you from your shortcomings. I'll cleanse you from your waywardness. Look at it. For Thou, Lord, art good. And because He is good, He's ready. He's ready right now to do something in your life and my life that we can't do for ourselves. We can't take and cleanse ourselves. Only God can forgive sin. Hello? Only God can take and make us right. God wants to do that for our lives. God has something that He wants to do for you today. Why? Because of His mercy. Look down at verse 13 of this chapter. Chapter 86. For great is Thy mercy. You see, we all deserve to go to hell. But in His mercy, He withholds His judgment when we call upon Him. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. God wants to do that for our lives. Why? Because we have a great God. We have a gracious God. We have a good God. And He wants to do things in our behalf of our lives. You know what the problem is? It's ourselves. We think that we can take and pull ourselves up on the old expression by our own bootstraps. We can turn over a new leaf or whatever it might be. We can get this thing. You know, we have it. No, we don't have it. We need to get it from Him. God wants to do that. And so often we forget about the goodness and the graces of the Lord. Now, turn back to Psalm 145, if you would please, very quickly before I close this morning. God has some great things in store for you if you allow Him. How is He good to all of us? Well, look here. He shows His works to all. God's not a stingy God. Can I hear an amen? God is not stingy. God holds His hands out and wants to give us those things that are good for our lives. And He always knows best because He's a good God. But look there in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee. I want to ask you today, are your works, the things you do in your life because you view God in a proper way, are you taking and being submissive to His will to bring glory to His name? Because you see, folks, the Bible tells me in the book of Colossians as well as 1 Corinthians, it says, and whatsoever we do and do it, word or deed, do it all to the what? Glory of God. That is a good measuring stick. Are you listening? That's a good measuring stick in regards to everything we do in our life. Will what I do bring glory to God by my actions, my choices, the things that I think, my expressions, everything that we do should be to the glory of God. And it will, folks, when we get that proper view of God. I mean, listen, when something comes into our life that's not right with God, it's contrary, we will be like Isaiah. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. I'm not complete the way God wants me to be. And we begin to see ourselves. And we see how great God is. We see how gracious He is. We see how good He is. That we might glorify His precious name. God wants to do that for your life and my life. Turn over. I'd like for us to see this verse. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 10 and verse 31. I want us to read it out loud together because I think that's important in culminating this great thought about God this morning and viewing Him and His greatness and His goodness and His graciousness. Look there at 1 Corinthians 10 and look down at verse 31. And there's a reason for that, and we'll read about it in just a second. Look at verse 31. Now, let's all read it together. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Why? Look at verse number 32. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Why should we get a right view of God? Because it helps us to let our light shine so we won't be an offense to this unsaved world. Folks, time is short. And we need to be effectively used of God to reach our communities for Christ. Folks, there's people out here. We went down last evening to Brother Ron's and Jean's home for a little bit. And I just began to look around at the town. Folks, there's people there that need to be saved. There's people there that need to be, if they are saved, get them into church. They're there, folks. Everybody has an influence. You can have the right influence because of the way you view God. God wants you. Yes, every boy and girl. There's somebody you can reach for the glory of God. You can reach them at school. Now, I know you may be a little hampered. I don't know how it is around here, but I know how many of you young folks are having to take schooling at home now? Are you homeschool? Wonderful. Wonderful. We believe in a Christian school. Now, our church has a Christian school. We have kids that are going there, and we have kids that are doing it online. My son is a principal of Emmanuel Christian Academy in Springfield, Ohio, and they have a lot of students who go there. And then they have students who are doing it online. My granddaughters who live in, our granddaughters, we'll take them both, all right? By the way, we don't mind bragging on our grandkids. Our kids, grandkids. We have 3 grandsons and 2 granddaughters. But anyway, our granddaughters are doing homeschooling online. One of our grandsons in college, but he's doing all his work online now. And he can't go there, not having classes. So what I'm simply saying is this. No matter if we're home or where we are, we need to not be an offense. We need to be a testimony before others and try to reach those people for Christ because time is short. And we need to give people a right view of God. And who are the ones that give God, the people, the right view of Himself? You and I as Christians. Because once again, going back to the verse there in Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So let me ask you a question this morning. How do you view God? If you view Him in a proper way, you'll number one realize there's nothing impossible with God in your life. If you view God in the right way, you'll see how great He is. You'll see how gracious He is to your life and my life and to everybody in the world. And of course, His goodness, all culminating in the fact of glorifying our Father in heaven. Let me ask you this morning, in light of those things, what is needed in your life today? Maybe you need to get back to reading the Bible the way you should. Maybe you kind of faltered in some areas that God wants you to be more ardent about. I don't know what your need might be today. Matter of fact, I didn't even ask your pastor about how you give an invitation, but I'm going to give the invitation this morning. All right? I believe God wants to do a work in my heart and your heart and life. And daily, I ask God, please, give me an opportunity to witness to somebody about you. Give me an opportunity to be a testimony to somebody or help somebody, whatever it might be, that I can show forth Jesus Christ. Because you're a wonderful God and you care for us. Would you stand with me, everyone? Would you bow your heads? And I'm going to have a word of prayer in just a few seconds, but with your eyes closed and your head bowed, I want you to examine your heart and life and ask yourself the question, how do I really view God? Am I reviewing Him in light of what the psalmist said here in Psalm 145 for my life? Am I concerned about those that God is so concerned about because He gave His Son to die upon that cross? And He did not die in vain, but are we trampling under our foot the blood of Jesus because we fail to share the blood that Jesus Christ shed for us that cleanses from all sin? I want to ask you this morning, what does God want you to do? I don't know what you do here as far as the invitation, but if you feel that you would like to come this morning and kneel here at the altar, be seated on the front pews, whatever the need might be in your life, what God has for your life is how you view Him. And He can do anything but fail. I trust God will speak to your heart.